Well, it's so good to be here and get to see you all. Praise the Lord. This is kind of an extra special Christmas present for us to be able to spend some time with you and also especially to spend time with your pastors. And just having friends and having relationships means so much, really, in doing the things that God has for us. Praise the Lord. Tonight, I'm not going to take real long. This is a midweek service, so, we're not here till the cows come home, or I don't even know if they can come home in this weather, but anyway, so if we try to stay here till the cows come home, we might really be here a long time, so, but anyway, this is a midweek service, so we don't want to take too long, but I just wanted to share just something with you. I kind of felt like the Lord put in my heart to share with you, and it's not a deep, profound, heavy, deep revelation type of a thing, but just more of an encouragement, because we're near the end of this year, and I don't know about you, but this year has gone by like lightning fast. I cannot believe how quickly this year has just flown by for us. And, it's kind of like that. It just seems like the closer we get to the return of Jesus, the more things are accelerating. And if we're not careful, we can just breeze right through a year or two and barely take a breath, and then we're thinking, what in the world just happened to me? 2 years went by. And, we have to live life on purpose. We have to be mindful of the fact that we're living in times that are very serious, that are important, and, Jesus is coming back soon. And we don't want to be wasting our time. We want to be right in the center of His will and doing exactly what He wants us to do. Amen? And so I was thinking about, how would I title this message? And I really don't have a title. I have like three different things. So, I'll just throw it all out there and, bless Larry's heart. He's going to have to figure out how to write it all down. But he's anointed, so he'll come up with something here. But I was thinking about something real catchy like, instructions, directions, and then and nothing else came. And I was like, well, that's it. I can't come up with anything else, so that's not going to work. And then I thought, setting your course by the compass of the word, and that sounds really wow, impressive. And then I thought about faith for heaven's assignments. So you can just pick something from all of that, and, if that doesn't work for you, you pick your own thing, whatever, But I'm just going to talk to you tonight about some things from the word about believing God for what He has for you to do. And some examples. And I was thinking about this as I was coming here. We were driving in the other day from Missouri. We drove up from Missouri. And so as we were driving along, I actually was listening to Christian radio, and they were playing all these Christmas songs and so forth. And the announcer said one little thing that just got me to thinking. They were talking about Mary and how when the angel appeared to her and said, "You're going to have a baby." And, that had to have been absolutely shocking news for her. Can you imagine? Because, she was living a holy life. I mean, she was not just living a holy life. I mean, she was a very Orthodox Jewish young lady following the scriptures. I mean, she was very meticulous, I think, about how she lived her life, everything. So to get that kind of an announcement had to have been a huge shock to her. And what amazes me is that when I look at Mary and I look at her life and I realize that she gets this announcement, the angel says, "You're going to have a baby. By the way, this is totally impossible, but you're going to have a baby and it's going to all be really supernatural. And, this is God's plan for you," and so on and so forth. And she doesn't flinch. She just says, "Let it be done to me according to your word." And when I thought about that, I thought, it took faith to bring Jesus into this world. It wasn't just faith of God the Father. It wasn't just faith of Jesus himself, because he knew that he was going to come. But it actually required faith on Mary's part for her role in the whole thing. And it got me to thinking about this, and I thought about, what happens when God asks you or gives you an assignment that is so out of the realm of the ordinary, that is so impossible? Now, obviously, he's not going to come to you and say, "You're going to have a baby supernaturally." That's only going to happen one time, and it's already happened. We're not going to have another Jesus coming, okay? But on the other hand, though, there are things that God has that and as I thought about this, I felt like because we're looking at a new year and really a new season, I think, in the things of God. And I believe that in that season, there are going to be some kind of like Mary assignments that God is going to be giving to people, where he's going to talk to you about some things, and he's going to say, I've got something for you to do. And it's going to take you completely out of your comfort zone. It's going to completely take you out of the ordinary. It's going to require faith on your part, and he's going to give you an opportunity for some things. And it's exciting, because you're going to be producing some things that, in a sense, giving birth to things that are going to be a great blessing to the plan of God. Hallelujah. And I believe God has vision. I believe he has dreams. I believe some of you, you've had dreams and visions that have laid dormant. And it's like what I see is that God's going to start reawakening some of these things. I was just reading today about a volcano in Italy. It's one of these super volcanoes, and they're very concerned about it because it's starting to rumble and, you know, come back to life and everything. And there's like 500,000 people living there, so they're very concerned about it. And I thought about this, you know, vision within you is like a dormant volcano. It's never, you see, the vision that comes from God, the gift, the call of God upon a person's life is without repentance. He never takes it away. So you're never going to, in a sense, escape what God wants you to do. He's always going to be talking to you, knocking on your door, you know, ministering to you, reminding you, and so forth. But what happens is sometimes we grow weary in the vision and, you know, achieving it and following God's plan because we don't see it happen right away. And then without realizing it, we start to lay some things down. We start to give up. We think, you know, I'm not going to pursue this. I just give up. It's too difficult, or whatever happens. And what I sense is this, is I feel like the Lord is going to begin to, it's almost like the winds of the Spirit are going to begin to blow again upon your vision and upon the dream that God's placed in your life. And that thing that is there that he's put within you is part of his plan. It's part of his destiny for your life, and it's going to reawaken. Just like a dormant, sleeping volcano reawakens. And you know, when that volcano erupts, it is tremendously powerful. And what you have on the inside of you right now is so powerful. What it can actually accomplish when it's in the hands of God, in the timing of God, and you're working together with him, what you can accomplish for the Lord is beyond, I don't even have words to describe it, how incredible it is. And I just sense in my heart that for some of you, not for everybody, but for some of you, you've laid down some vision. You've laid down some dreams. God's talked to you in the past about some things, and you, for whatever reason, you just got distracted, you got weary, whatever it may be. But the Lord's going to, in this season, begin to reawaken some things in you. And you just let the Lord work in you, because you've got a volcano on the inside of you. There are some things that are going to come out of your life that are going to be tremendously powerful in the hands of God. Hallelujah. So I was thinking about this with Mary and how she, you know, the angel appears to her and tells her this. And you know, of course, the angel told her, this is impossible with man, but it's not impossible with God. And that makes me think of what Jesus said in Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. In Mark 9 and verse 23, Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible for you. Hallelujah. So I like to say this, you know, sometimes people have asked me, you know, I share about a vision or something the Lord put in my heart, and they'll say, well, what about that? And I'll say, well, it's impossible. I said, God's just given me an impossible vision. It's absolutely impossible, but it's doable. Amen. Because you have to understand, there's a difference between impossible and doable. See, what people think is impossible means I can't do it. No, impossible just means it's a classification. There are different classifications. There's impossible, there's possible. There's all these different classifications. But you see, when God gives you an assignment, it probably will be impossible in the natural. It'll seem so beyond your natural ability to be able to do that thing, but it's doable. And the reason why it's doable is because what God said right here. With man, it's impossible. With God, it's possible. And if you can believe, all things are possible for you. So if God gives you something impossible, you can say boldly, this is impossible, but it's doable. Amen. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, the person who understands this key of faith, how to believe God and take him at his word, they move from the realm of impossibility to the realm of nothing is impossible for me. Hallelujah. And I don't know about you, but I want to live in that realm every day of my life. I think about in the Old Testament, the first time that God, that I can find that God ever said about a group of people, nothing that they attempt to do will be impossible for you, for them. It's found in the when he had to come down at the Tower of Babel. And that was not a good situation. These people were doing the wrong thing. They were rebelling against God. And yet those people in their condition spiritually of open rebellion against God and his plan, God said of them, because their language was one, their speech was one, their words were the same words. There's something that's so powerful in the spoken word. And God understood this. He said, because they're able to say these things, nothing will be impossible for them. They're going to be able to do whatever they put their minds to do. And so God had to come down and confuse their speech and all of that. But isn't it interesting that in when we understand that principle, what happens when a group of people say the same thing? What happens when we speak what God has said? You see, we move from the realm of impossibility to the realm of possibility. And so I want you, as we begin to look at this new year that's coming up, to realize God is going to open before you some tremendous doors of opportunities, some tremendous opportunities. And you're going to have to kind of gulp a little bit, kind of, you know, one of these, and be careful what you say, because if you say, I can't do it, it's impossible, I can't do it, then you'll stop the whole process. But if you just say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, God's opening a door before me no man can shut. I'm going to go through in Jesus' name. I'm bold as a lion. The righteous are as bold as a lion. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, I'm bold. Amen. He's going to open some things up for some people. He's going to take you into some opportunities and some things that you just thought you'd never see this in your life. It's beyond your natural abilities. Hallelujah. Because he wants you to be doing these things. And here's one of the main reasons why. It gives him glory. It gives him honor. Because for you to be able to do it, no one's going to be able to say, wow, you're so brilliant. You're so, you know, the reason why you're doing this is because of your great brilliance and your high IQ. You're not going to be able to say that. You're going to have to say, it's because of Jesus. It's the only reason I'm able to do this. And then he gets all the glory for it. And because he gets the glory, people's eyes and attention are upon him, and then people are being drawn to him. And his influence, the kingdom influence, is expanding in the earth. Hallelujah. So God has some things for us this year, I believe. And one of the things that we have to do is what Mary did. She had to believe and accept the word. Hallelujah. Now, I was thinking about this a little bit further, and I began to think about Hebrews 11, because I always like to talk to our students in Singapore about this when I teach on faith. You know, I love to talk about Hebrews 11 and all these people who were faith people, you know, and they just believe God. And there's so many examples of things there. We don't have time to just, you know, read through everything. But let's just look at a couple of them just to illustrate this. Hebrews 11, and we'll just start here with verse 5. I love this one. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, what's interesting about Enoch was he never died. He just was translated away. He just, you know, serving God, loving the Lord, doing what the Lord wanted him to do, and he just got translated directly from earth to heaven. Now, what's amazing about this is that Enoch, it says, by faith Enoch was translated. By faith he was taken away. That tells me something. Faith only begins when you know the will of God. So Enoch had to know God was going to do that. Well, how did Enoch know? God must have told him. See, if you walk with God, there is a place in your relationship with him where he'll whisper some secrets in your ear. He'll show you some things to come. He'll talk to you about the destiny on your life and what he wants to do. And in Enoch's case, no one had ever done this before. Can you imagine God coming to you and saying, I got something for you to do. By the way, no one's ever done this before. That excites me. I think it's kind of cool when I think God could talk to me about doing something and there's no blueprint for it. There's no procedure manual. We're going to have to make it up as we go along. I kind of like that, you know, because then my absolute dependence is upon God and his ability, not upon any human resource or wisdom. Hallelujah. And see, for some of you, God's going to talk to you about some things, and you're going to look around and say, I don't see a blueprint for this. This is different. This doesn't look the way it traditionally looks. He has some things that he wants to do that are out of the box. Hallelujah. Just like he did with Enoch. Then we look at Noah. Look down in verse 7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, and he prepared an ark for the saving of his household. Now notice this. He was divinely warned by God of things not yet seen. And that can mean a couple of things. It can mean that it's off in the future, so obviously it's in the future. No one's seen it yet. But literally, when you think about it, in the time of Noah up until that point, no one had ever seen a rainstorm before. Can you imagine that? You know, in Singapore where we live, you know, we talk to people, we're coming back to America for Christmas and we're going to have snow, you know, and some of the people there have never seen snow in their life. I've actually had people ask me, does it hurt when it falls on you? They've actually asked me that. And I said, well, if it's an avalanche, then yes, it does. But people, they've seen pictures, they've maybe seen something on TV, but they've never experienced it for their life. You know, and it sounds so strange to us. But can you imagine in Noah's day, no one had ever been in a rainstorm. No one knew what that was. And Noah is told by God, I'm going to send a flood on the earth. I'm going to pour rain from heaven. And by the way, Noah, I want you to build a boat inland, not next to the sea, but inland, this big boat. And he's got to build this thing while people are asking him 50,000 questions about it. What are you doing, Noah? I'm building a boat. Why are you building a boat here? The sea is way over there. Well, there's going to be a flood. Well, what's a flood? Well, rain is going to come down from heaven. What is rain? They didn't know any of this stuff. And you see, sometimes God will put in your heart a vision of things to come that no one's seen it yet. And you know, we see examples of this in the world, you know, in the marketplace. I think about, you know, one of my favorite people, and please don't throw stones at me if you're not a fan of his. I'm not speaking like this to get that kind of reaction, but I always think about a guy like Steve Jobs, you know, who founded Apple. And this guy, I mean, I'm thinking about how could this man know that we were all going to want to have an iPad and figure that out, how did he know that I was going to be so devoted to this iPad that I would be downloading games, I'd be reading books, I'd use it to preach from. I mean, it's like this thing has become a permanent extension of my arm. And he knew that. Somehow he knew before it ever was conceived, he saw this in his mind's eye. People need this. They just don't know they need it yet. So I've got to create it. And I think, you know, if God could do that with a worldly person who, as far as I know, didn't have a, you know, godly motivation to do this, how about in the kingdom of God? There are things that he wants to bring forth into the earth that no one's yet seen. And he may just talk to you about it. He may just give you a blueprint for some things. When you look through the Bible, you see this often happened. I think about Moses, you know, he's on the mountain with God and God gives him the blueprint for the building of the temple. And then gives him very detailed information about it. And then he says to him, see to it that you build this according to the pattern that I showed you when you were on the mountain. So, you know, what that tells me is this. We need to go to the mountain of God. It's in that place, that secret place with him of communion and fellowship, that he's going to begin to download into you some information and blueprints and strategies for what he wants to do. Hallelujah. He's got great plans for your life. He's got great things for you to do. Amen. Then we see this example. We see this in verse 8. Abraham. I like this one. Abraham, it says, by faith he obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Now, can you imagine? Can you imagine this? It's like God taps you on the shoulder and says, I want you to go to this place. Okay. Where do I go? Just start going down that road right there. All right, Lord, I'm going down the road. Where am I going, Lord? I'm not going to show you that yet. He had no idea where he was going. And yet God was leading him. And what Abraham had to do was walk and live in faith, but he had incomplete information. Sometimes when God gives you an assignment or something to do, he doesn't give you all the information. He gives you incomplete information. You find yourself wishing you knew more. I wish I had more detail about that. But God just says, I want you to start with what you have. And this is the key to walking in faith in the assignments that God has given to you. You start where you are. You don't wait until you have it all and then you start. You start where you are. And you keep walking, and you keep stepping, and you keep moving that direction. And if you'll stay faithful to do that, as you do that on the journey, God will reveal more to you. See, that's why he says, we walk by faith. See, if we don't realize sometimes what that means, we walk by faith. That means it's a walk of faith. That means that we are walking in faith. I'm taking a step of faith, believing God's going to show me something more. I don't know where it's taken me. I don't know where exactly this is all going to end up, but I believe that he's leading me. So I'm following the leading of the Holy Spirit, and I'm walking by faith. Hallelujah. And that's how you achieve things. I like what, and I think I've said this to you guys before, but Hudson Taylor, who founded the China Inland Mission many, many years ago, he made this statement. He said, there's three stages in every work in God. First, it is impossible. Then it is difficult. Then it is done. Amen. And you know, he walked by faith. It's just how it is. You start where you are, you walk and you begin to do, and you do the best with what you have, and it grows and God blesses it, and you continue on and you stay faithful. And as you do, you'll get to the destination that he has for you. Just like with Abraham. Abraham had to act on incomplete information. And then we see that in verses 8 and 9, I like this one also. Going on from this here, Abraham's still the person being talked about, but it says that he went out not knowing where he was going. And then verse 9, by faith he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country. And you realize that God put within Abraham a promised land. In other words, God supernaturally gave to Abraham some land. Hallelujah. I believe God has some supernatural land to give people. Amen. Does that mean a physical property? Well, it could be that. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to limit God. If he does that, wants to do that, wonderful. But it can also be things like this. Land can be your territory, your place, where he wants you to go, where you fit in the plan of God. Whatever he's apportioned to you and given to you, there is land that he has for you, a place for you to live where you have authority, where you have dominion, where you have the right to come and to go and to do what you want to do. There is something for you to do. And that is your land. And God wants you to walk in that and live in that. Praise the Lord. So we see that with Abraham, he received land supernaturally. I believe God has the same thing for us. Hallelujah. Then we see in verse 11, I'll just mention this, but Sarah, Abraham's wife, you know, she gave birth. And really, that was impossible. Her age, you know, said you cannot have a child. But yet she gave birth to the impossible. And all, what we see from that was she could have made every excuse. She could have said, God, I'm too old. My husband's too old. Lord, I don't feel like chasing after a little toddler when I'm 80-some-odd years old or however old she was. You know, she could have said everything. But the point being this, that oftentimes when God talks to us about vision and what he wants us to do, we have excuses and reasons why we can't do it. And we cannot give those to God. We cannot hide behind our excuses. Because the truth is this. We all have excuses. Every one of us. I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm too fat. I'm too small. I'm too this. I'm too that. We have all of these excuses and reasons why we cannot do what God wants us to do. But let's not hide behind our excuses. Let's just say, Lord, let it be done to me according to your word. Just like Mary did. So it comes back to this simple truth, that we must get the word of the Lord for our lives. We must take enough time in his presence that he gives us direction, that he speaks to our hearts, that he gives us vision and purpose and destiny, that we know what it is, and then we say, Lord, yes, let that be done, and you take steps in that direction. Now, understand this. We go on in Hebrews 11, in verses 29 and 30, it talks about how they passed through the Red Sea and how they encountered Jericho. And you know, it's interesting that it kind of puts both of those together like that, because both of those are examples of obstacles to our forward progress. And if you're going to walk in faith in whatever assignments God gives you, I guarantee you that I'm not prophesying, I'm just guaranteeing you, you're going to have some obstacles. You're going to have some opposition. You're going to have challenges that you'll face along the way. And it's just part of it. But you understand this, God has put within you the heart of an overcomer. He lives within you. He is an overcomer. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So you see, God has given you something to do, and you may face some opposition, you may face some obstacles, but our battle is not against flesh and blood. Our battle is against the enemy, and he is under our feet. He's defeated. Hallelujah. So we're going to exercise our faith and our authority and continue to walk in the plan of God. And if he shows up and tries to oppose us, we'll just walk all over him. Amen. We're not going to let him stop us in whatever it is that God has for us to do. So I just was thinking about this. In this new year, I want to encourage you all to do this, to take some time, just take extra time, set aside some time, just to spend with the Lord and to just seek him and listen to him. And let him talk to you. Let him talk to you about vision. Let him talk to you about assignment and purpose and what he wants to do in your life. And you'll find that as you enter into this new year, into this new season, that there's going to be some things that the Lord's going to have you doing, or he's going to give you some instructions. And again, some of you, it'll surprise you a little bit. You'll think, Lord, really, are you serious? I'm the last person I'd think you'd want to talk to about doing that. But yet he wants you to do that. And he's going to give you some things to do, and then you just be obedient to walk out whatever he puts in your heart to do. See, Mary, many years later, Mary, when Jesus started his earthly ministry, Mary was there at the wedding of Cana in the book of John, in John chapter 2. And they're there at this place, and Jesus comes along, and he hasn't really fully started his ministry yet, but Mary sees they don't have wine in this wedding feast, and she says to Jesus, they don't have wine. And, you know, Jesus says, woman, what do I have to do with you? My time has not yet come. And so Mary, she just said, I've got it. It's done. He's going to do this. She just didn't even think otherwise. So she turns to the servants, and she says, whatever he says to you, do it. How'd you like to be a servant that day? Your job is to carry the wine out into the party, and if you bring out water, they're going to, you know, they're probably going to beat you. I mean, it's not going to end well for you. And then this woman says, whatever he says to you, just do it. Okay. So Jesus, you know, gave them some instructions. But do you realize that for them to have a miracle, they had to be absolutely obedient to do whatever the Lord said to do? So if we're going to walk in the miraculous in this upcoming season, we're going to have to be absolutely obedient to do whatever he says to do. Lord, what is your word to me? Whatever you say, I will do it. Not my will, your will be done. And like Mary said, let it be done to me according to the word or the will of God. So we need to take time to find out what is the will. And then when you find out, you start walking in it. You start taking steps that direction. And don't worry about it if hindrances or obstacles come. They're to be expected. We're not believing for them, but it's just a reality. There will be. But you just keep walking in the plan of God. And you keep speaking faith over that thing. Hallelujah. What do you want to see in your life? Amen. What do you want to experience in your life? And I'm not talking about just spiritual things, but even natural things. You know, better job, better paying job, promotions, benefits, better salaries. Things like that, you know, help from God and different things that you're doing. I mean, the list can go on and on and on. But what do you want to see in your life? Then start saying it. Start releasing words of faith about that thing. Don't say that you don't have it or you won't experience it or you can't have it. Start saying what God says about it. Find out what he says in his word. Take time in his presence. Let him talk to you and lead you and guide you in this, and then you begin to say what he puts in your heart to say. Hallelujah. And you can change things in your life. Now, I'm sharing this because, well, first of all, because I felt like the Lord said to, but in my own life, the past 35 years now almost, at least the last 35 years, this is how I've lived my life. I've had a series of assignments that God gave me, where, first of all, it was in, you know, just working in the secular world and so forth. And then when I went into ministry, you know, it just carried over into that. But every single one of these assignments that I was given, I was completely not qualified for. In fact, I should not be even in that position at all because of the lack of qualifications. I worked in the medical field as a technician, where I literally went from cleaning toilets in a hospital to watching the heart monitors in intensive care with 2 weeks of training in between. And that was it. Now, you can't do that in your own strength and power and wisdom, because I didn't have it. But the Lord opened a door, and when he did, I just sensed in my heart, here's an opportunity. And like somebody said, you know, the opportunity of a lifetime has to be exploited in the lifetime of that opportunity. And some opportunities have a very short lifespan. And if you don't seize it at that moment, you can miss it. And, you know, God's good. He'll bring around another opportunity, but, you know, you don't want to miss it. And so I was given an opportunity. Would you like to stop having to clean the toilets and instead, you know, work in the intensive care unit watching the heart monitors? I said, what do I have to do? And they said, well, you've got to come for this course. And it's a 2-week course. It's very intensive. We're going to teach you all these Latin words, you know, that they use in the medical field. You've got to know the names of different drugs. You've got to be able to interpret the rhythm of the heart and everything. And at that point, all I knew of the human heart was it's the size of your fist. And if it stops beating, you're going to see Jesus. So I have to take a step. But in my heart, see, I said, Lord, what do I do? And in my heart, the Lord said, why don't you take a step of faith? I said, all right, I believe I will. And so I did, and I refused to say what I felt or what I thought. I said what the Word said. I have the mind of Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I just confessed the Word. For 2 weeks I sat in this, and they lectured us from morning through evening every day for 2 weeks. And I mean, all this terminology and things, and I'm like going, dear Lord, I didn't study this. I just have a high school education. And they're teaching us all this. But God put something in my heart, and I made this confession. I said, Lord, when I take the exam, I'm going to do better on this exam than some of the nurses that have been working in ICU for years. And so the day came for the exam. And I'm sitting there, and I look at the first question, and I go, I know this answer. I put the answer. And I started taking the exam, and I thought, I got this. All of a sudden, all these things started. I understood it. And up until that point, I never understood it. At least in my thinking, I didn't understand it. But I took the exam, and I understood everything. And not only did I pass the exam and get the job, but I did better than a couple of the nurses that were there that had worked in ICU for years. You can have what you say. You see, if you'll cooperate with the Holy Spirit, He will give you words to say about this next season of your life. If you listen carefully to Him, He will give you the words to say, and they are not just your words. They are divinely inspired words coming from the Spirit of God, that if you will release them in faith, they will actually set into motion the plan of God, and it will be accomplished in your life. Hallelujah. Now see, the Holy Ghost is speaking. This is not just, I'm not just, you know, sharing a message. I mean, that is a word of the Lord for you. I mean, I could say, thus says the Lord, and be dramatic, but I don't want to, you know, I don't feel like doing that. But the Lord wants you to have that. He wants you to know how to listen to Him and let Him give you the right word in season that you speak and release through your mouth, and it will change your future. It will set some things in motion in your life. It'll change the course and destiny of your life. Hallelujah. There's some key things the Lord's got for you this year. Some key things for this church. Praise the Lord. Some things that He wants to do. And it's not going to be a difficult thing. It's just a matter of cooperation with Him. And the great thing about it is you learn all the time in all the services here how to cooperate with the Holy Ghost. So you've already been practicing this. So all you got to do is just say, okay, Holy Ghost, how do I do this? What do I do? And he'll give you some instructions, and then you just carry it out, and it'll just be exactly what the Lord wants. It'll be supernatural, but it'll bring you forward into the plans that He has for you in this next season. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, let me pray for you before we close. Hallelujah. Father, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just thank you for your word, Lord, that you just have encouragement for each of us. And Father, in this season that each of us are looking, Father, at this season that we are stepping into, Father, it is a new season. And there are new opportunities. There are new challenges. There are new opportunities. There are new. There are many new things that you have. And Father, we just thank you for giving us wisdom and direction. We thank you for giving us understanding. Father, we thank you for helping us to navigate through this successfully, that, Lord, we will step forth into the fullness of your plan for our lives. Lord, there are blessings that you have for each one here. Father, not just spiritual blessings, but even natural blessings. There are job promotions. There are benefits. There are increases of wages. Father, there are better living conditions. There's victories of different kinds, family members coming to you. There's just it goes on and on, Father. So many things that you are doing and going to do, Father, in this season. And so, Lord, we just simply submit ourselves to you, and we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would give us revelation and understanding of your purpose and what you want to do, and give us from heaven words to speak that when we release them in faith, will set this plan in motion in our lives. Father, we thank you for that you're doing that for each one individually and for this church corporately, Father God. That Father, even as you have you've begun a good work in us, Father, you've begun a good work here, you will continue to perform it until the day of Jesus. And so we expect to see that this next season will be blessed. We expect to see that it will be prospered, that it will be wonderful, it'll be abundant, it'll be fruitful. Father, that every challenge that we face will be overcome. And Father, we thank you that this church will be propelled forward, Father, into a much greater measure of the operation and manifestation of God through it and in the earth here, Father, and that you will use this church in a mighty, mighty way, Father, increasingly, hallelujah, in this season to come, to impact many more lives. Father, we just give you the glory for that, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.